Hi, this is Linda Rex. Welcome to Our Life in the Trinity. I'm bringing this sermon for November 20th, 2022. This is the last day in the Christian calendar of year C. We call it Christ the King or the Reign of Christ. And so that's what we're going to celebrate today. Our text today is Luke 23, 33 to 43. And we'll also talk a little bit about Colossians 1, 11 through 20. So to start out, we will read this passage in the New American Standard Bible in Luke 23, 33 to 43. Then we'll say a little prayer. We're going to talk about our message for today, have communion together, and end with a benediction. So let's get started, right? When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified Jesus and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And the people stood by, looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if this is Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." Now there was also an inscription above him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered, and rebuking him, said, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us, your love, your grace, all you've done for us, in and through your Son and in the gift of your Spirit. Today, we pray that by your Spirit, you might speak the words of life to us. Let them resonate in our hearts. And I pray that Jesus, we might waken more fully to the reality of who you have made us to be and redeemed us to be. In your name we pray. Amen. Jesus was never more truly himself. As the Lord of all, and as truly human as all of us, as when he hung on the cross, dying at our hands, submissive to the will of the Father, and in a spirit of forgiveness and grace toward all those who are hurting him. So profound that day when he laid down his life for us in that way. And the reality is, he didn't have to hang there on the cross as God in human flesh at any moment. He could have stepped down. But he was held in place by the nails of his love for his Father and the Spirit and his love for all of us. Yes, love is what held him to the cross. And this is what we're the culmination of everything we have talked about during the calendar year, beginning with the incarnation and through Jesus' life and his death and then his resurrection. And we come to the place where we're going to celebrate Jesus, the one who reigns over all in glory. And he's going to come again. He's going to return in glory. Unfortunately, because we tend to focus on the apocalyptic writings, we get this picture in our head about Jesus on a white horse coming and destroying all of his enemies and wiping out, you know, the earth and all the bad people. And it can kind of create a spirit of fearness if we're not careful. We can dread Jesus' return. But Jesus, that's not what he wants us to think of when we think of him returning in glory. You know, God doesn't want us to be afraid. One of the readings for this Sunday is in Luke 1, 68 to 79. It says that God would free us from our enemies so that we could serve God without fear. God never meant for us to be afraid of him. He's not the kind of God we should fear in that way. Yes, we can stand in awe of him in that sense of fear, but that's different. That's just seeing him for who he is, as our creator, our maker, our sustainer, and the one who lived our life, died our death, and rose again. Now that kind of awe and respect is good and healthy. But fear, dread, that's not God's heart for us to have toward him. No. In Jeremiah 23, 1 to 6, another reading for today. It's interesting that all the readings kind of resonated about this. It said that God would raise up a righteous branch who would reign as king, acting wisely, justly, righteously. And this righteous branch would be the Lord, our righteousness. Interesting. Righteousness, if you understand, is living in right relationship with God and each other. And who made that possible? It was, of course, Jesus Christ, the one who has always, for all eternity, lived as the Son of the Father, the beloved Son of the Father, who lives in right relationship with God. Yeah. God who lives as Father, Son, and Spirit in a holy and beautiful and loving relationship now and forever. And so God gives us his righteousness in Christ, the Lord our righteousness. And it's interesting that that's the prophetic word in Jeremiah about what Jesus would do. In Psalm 46, 1 through 2, the psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains fall into the sea. Even in the most dramatic and horrific natural disasters, we have no reason to fear because God is our refuge. He's our strength. He's our help. And there is no reason to fear. When we realize God's heart toward us, we have no reason to fear him. You know, thinking about Jesus returning in glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, what of his response to all those who are opposed to him when he returns then is more like what happened on the cross and a whole lot less like annihilating everyone like an atomic bomb or something like that. Yeah. You know, in the midst of being ridiculed, mocked, humiliated, Jesus did what? And you know that's going to happen when he returns. It says that people will reject him and fear him and so on. Right? But what did Jesus do in the face of all that on the cross? He asked for his father's forgiveness for those who were crucifying him, saying they didn't know what they were doing. He asked for the care of his mother, who was grieving. He made sure she was cared for and taken, watched over by John. He offered grace and reconciliation to a criminal. A criminal who simply asked, "Remember me, Lord," and who defended him when his friend was criticizing him, right? It's interesting that Jesus, in the face of our worst evil, offered only good, kindness, grace. I think in that moment, Jesus will be calling all people to wake up to the reality of who they really are, who they were made to be, and who he made them to be. Because, see, Christ is the one through whom and by whom all was made. And he not only made it all, but he took it all upon himself in his incarnation. And he lived our life and died our death and rose again, bringing all he has made with him into new life, into life with the Father in right relationship with him. In that moment of judgment, when Christ returns in glory, it's a crisis. Judgment is a crisis. It's a time when we're face to face with things as they really are. And at that moment, we have a choice of our response. And I believe in that moment, there'll be, for some, assembly or refusal to acknowledge the truth and to live in the truth. What is the truth? The truth is, we're all in Christ. We're included in his life, his death, his resurrection, ascension. We're created to live in the right relationship with God and each other. That's the truth of our existence. What if we don't want to live there? Ooh. For some people, this crisis of judgment is a sickening realization that all we've planned on, all that we depended on, all that we counted on is suddenly gone. Everything that we built our self-respect on, our worth and our value on, simply becomes worthless, non-existent. And all of a sudden we have to realize that maybe what we thought was really important, that really mattered, doesn't really matter in the long run. This is tough. Do you see, though, that these are not judgments that are only going to happen then? These are things we face every day. In the day when Christ returns in glory, we'll have this crisis of judgment, of facing things the way they really are. And for some people, though, there will be joy, gratitude, embracing this wonderful gift of eternal life, because they will be changed, glorified, whoa. And they'll be celebrating this hope they've longed for so long. Why? Simply because they are already living in the truth of who they are in Christ by faith. That's kind of cool. So think about it this way. Judgment. You know, we need to not fear judgment. We need to embrace judgment. And it would be good for us to embrace it like right now. To realize that right now, we stand in the presence of God through Christ in the Spirit. Right now, we have the opportunity to face the truth of who we are. Is there some judgment, some crisis in our life we're putting off that maybe we ought to face like right now and deal with now? Let me explain a little bit about what I mean. You know, for example, you know, I could simply keep eating in a certain way. And I love sweets and I love, you know, lots of carbs, you know, but if I continue to eat that way, I will reap the consequence of developing a disease that I'm going to have to deal with the rest of my life. Or I can deal with the crisis, the judgment that says, you know what? I just don't need that in my life. That's not me. I need to live in the way that respects who I am, that honors the temple of the spirit that I am, and eat appropriately. Now, that's just a trivial item. But let's think about other things that maybe we need to come into judgment on, right? And just come to Jesus about, right? What about our little habit of always being nice? And I mean the be nice where you don't really tell the truth because you're trying to protect people, or are you protecting yourself? Or are you just not wanting to deal with the consequences of telling the truth? What about speaking the truth in love instead? So is that a place where maybe a crisis of judgment needs to occur now instead of later? Because eventually it will occur where you'll have to deal with the consequences of always being nice. But what if you dealt with it right now and began to live in right relationship with God through Christ and the Spirit, in basically just being real about that, being truthful with God about that, right? What if we faced our little habit of adjusting the numbers when we're doing our taxes and kind of, you know, stretching the truth a little on there? Or maybe we have some other way that we adjust the numbers, you know, statistics. There's a lot of ways we do that. What if we deal with that now? Because at some point we will have to deal with it in the presence of the God who knows the truth of those numbers, right? So we might as well do that now, right? And allow him to begin to decide how we deal with the things in our life in truth and honesty and integrity, because that's what he created us to be and to do. That's our true self. Wow. Well, we could put that off until later, but at some point we're going to have to face that judgment, right? So what about our little private addiction? That thing that, you know, it doesn't hurt anybody. It's just me. It's just you and God. Yes. And he knows exactly what's going on. And it's between you and him. Yeah. And I would say that there are some things God did not create us to do or be. There are some things that, you know, even Paul said, where our bodies are a temple of the Spirit. And whatever we do with our bodies, we do with God. And so is that really what we want to be doing? I'm getting heavy here, aren't I? Man, judgment's tough. But see, judgment is God's love. God's love for us is, I created you in this way to live in right relationship with me and others. I created you for real other-centered, loving, caring relationship. I did not create you for all of these things that you seem to think are going to give you life. I created you for real life. So God says to us, here is who you are, my son, Jesus Christ. He lives your life, dies your death, rises again. He is your life. If you want to see what the law of God is, look at Jesus Christ. And he's living in you. He writes that law in our minds and hearts that enables us to live the way we were meant to live, created to live. So at some point, we're going to have to come to that crisis, that judgment of facing the reality of who God created us to be, to wake up to the reality some things just aren't meant to be part of who we are as God's beloved children. Some things we think, do, and say are in opposition to the truth of who God created us to be. And one day, those things will simply come to an end and no longer be a part of our human existence. Because God will draw a line and say, this is how it's going to be. Jesus will return in glory, and we will celebrate the wonder of our true life, which is in Him. There is no life but our life in Christ that will last beyond the coming of the new heavens and the new earth. So we find that Jesus, though, knew that we cannot do any of this ourselves. And He did not ask us to. I mean, He knew that it would require Him coming, taking our human flesh through death into resurrection before any of us could begin to live in the truth of who we are, the way He meant us to be. And the reality is, in Christ, we have real life. We have life in relationship with the Father in the Spirit. Jesus hung voluntarily on the cross, in spite of all the legions of angels who wanted to take Him down and rescue Him. He stayed and allowed Himself to undergo our worst so that we could receive our best. We could receive His best, excuse me. And Jesus just handled Himself with such kingly dignity. He was the true King of all. In humiliating circumstances, just with such grace, such mercy, such kindness, such patience, long-suffering, forbearance, we have no reason or need to fear Him. And that is why I say, if God in Christ is not to be feared in that way, if we're not to be afraid of God, but to understand that His love for us is so great that He wouldn't leave us on our own to try and figure out how we're supposed to live or to try to get it right, but rather that He gives us the ability to get it right in Christ. He gives us the Spirit to live in our hearts. He writes the law in our minds and hearts, gives us a desire to do the right thing. This is why, maybe, perhaps, today might be the day we ought to consider facing our little crisis, our little judgment, that thing that the Spirit kind of has been niggling at the back of our hearts or minds and saying, you know what? You need to deal with this. You need to get right with God. And we need to embrace God's loving judgment in Christ right now, instead of putting off and waiting until He returns in glory. Just deal with it right now. Is there something maybe you want to say to Jesus right now, today, about who you really are? He knows already. You might as well talk to Him about it and have it out with Him. Yeah. And that brings me to communion. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, there is so many things that You have done to bring us into relationship with God, Yourself, Spirit, the way You've healed us, restored us, renewed us, forgiven us, accepted us. How can we fear You or be afraid of You, Father, when You're so good and so kind and so merciful? Thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Spirit, for living in our flesh, enabling us to come to know you, God, as you really are, and ourselves as we really are. This thing, whatever it is, Lord, we accept the reality that, you know, you are God, we're not. We can't get it right without you. We need you to make us right, to transform our hearts. And you give us that gift by your Holy Spirit. You give us that grace. You give us that right relationship with you. And we thank you. Receive that. Forgive us again, God. We're so grateful that you do forgive us. You do accept us. You do turn us back to you. Jesus, you are living in right relationship with the Father in and through us by your Spirit. Thank you for that. That's where we put our trust, in you, Jesus. And we lay ourselves at your feet. Let everything be done as you will. You are Lord. You are King over all. You reign forever in glory, and we want to be a part of that. Thank you for making that possible. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So Jesus offered the bread and wine the night he was betrayed. Said, remember me. Yeah. We want to remember all that Jesus has done for us. And receive that anew. I mean, sometimes we just gotta be reminded, Jesus, I need you so much. So thank you, Jesus, for offering your body for us. And thank you, Jesus, for pouring your blood out for us. Now may our Heavenly Father, who rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his Son, and Jesus, by whom all things were created and in whom all things hold together, strengthen you by his Spirit with all power, enabling you to joyously give thanks now and forever. I pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. God bless you. Do have a great week. Hopefully we'll see you again next Sunday here on Our Life in the Trinity as we begin the Advent season. God bless.